Hard to title this message.
I know any title that I'd put on it.
I don't necessarily want to draw attention,
but it certainly would draw criticism, if nothing else. I'm going to deal with works, and I'm going to make the application that the Bible says that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. And I believe that, and I'm going to keep on referring to that, that I believe the Bible. If you look in the book of Romans chapter 4, it really stresses this point of not of works, not of works, not of works. And I believe that. I believe what the Bible is teaching. I don't believe necessarily what man is teaching, but I believe what the Bible is teaching. Look with me just for a few moments in verse number, let's do 26 and 27. I won't go all in the rest of it. Maybe I better, because it is mentioned. Jesus mentions it in 29 also. So let me read up through, I'll go on to read clear to 40 like I was going to. Okay, let's read. Jesus answered them, verse 26, and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." Next word, labor. I think labor's work, isn't it? "Labor not for the meat which perisheth." Labor not for the meat which perisheth. But notice what he says, but, and so he's talking about labor, still talking about labor, "for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life." Now the statement there is, labor but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you for him that hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Are you reading that in your Bible? Now we're dealing with everlasting life. That's the subject matter. What'll last? What'll last forever? Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." See, they keep going back. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." Amen. And Jesus said unto them, "I'm bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And that shall believe on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me," all of them, "that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which he hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last days. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day." Father, again in Jesus' name, I ask for help. I needed a lot of help. I need your wisdom and grace and understanding. I don't want misunderstanding from the things that I say. I pray make them clear. Help me to clarify every thought, Lord, to your word. And I pray meet with us this morning in a special way as we search the scriptures. Whether these things be so as being preached, I pray give me the grace and the wisdom to stand. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Back to verse 27. As I read it before, labor not for the meat which perish, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Don't live and invest your life, and I think I preached a whole message on it last Sunday, on things that will not last. Don't give your life and devote your life to things that'll perish, you'll never be involved in working in the saving of your soul. But work on the things that are meat, the things that are bread from heaven, things that relate to spiritual things that are everlasting. Jesus said he's that bread, and the rest of the chapter deals with this issue. We'll get into that as I go through this passage. But he's telling us we need to endure and that which endureth under everlasting life. This laboring, you read that word laboring in there, you won't find that word anywhere else in the Bible. Not in this particular word. It has a different meaning to it. And it means to be engaged in or with, commit to do. Now that's what that word means if you go into Greek. What I want to try to show this morning is how that involved, that work is involved in your salvation. It doesn't save you. And I'll keep going over this just to confirm in your mind that I never teach that you're saved by works. But let me say this. Most of the time when the Bible is speaking of it, it's speaking to Jews that figure that by their obeying the law, they don't have to accept Jesus Christ. And so one of the strongest issues with the Jews is they have to be made to understand they have to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, not their obedience to the law. And so most of the time when it's dealing with it, with the works and trying to put works into salvation, it's dealing with people trying to add what they do and how they are trusting and believing in the Word of God. You've heard me say a number of times that I don't think we really understand the word believing and what we believe and how believing makes it. There's a lot of difference in how you believe. A lot of difference in your faith. That's your belief. And so I hope this thing will help us this morning. What do you say you're trying to do, preacher? I'm trying to do what the Bible tells us to do, to earnestly contend for the faith was once delivered unto the saints. There's so much scripture resting and twisting, as Peter writes in the very end of his epistle, second epistle, of the word especially, he says, of Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul will show you in Romans 9 and 10 that he'd literally give his life to see the Jews saved. He was still all out for the Jews, though God called him to the Gentiles. But he still was out to try to reach the Jews first, just like Jesus said. And so many of the doctrines that Paul preaches, that I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm saying people have misunderstood the application of them. I'm not trying to build a doctrine or to correct a doctrine. What I'm going to try to do this morning is is to give the interpretation that shows the rightly dividing of the word of truth. We know the just live by faith. We know we are saved by grace through faith. We know that. But we also know that doctrines, teachings, is what doctrines are, teaching the word. Doctrines are made up by many different views of the Bible. You've got, the Bible tells you in Colossians 2:22, the doctrines of men. This is the way men see it. You have in Timothy 4:1, you've got the doctrines of devils. That's the teaching of devils. And on, you have numerous numbers. Every denomination has doctrines. That's the theology they teach. This is what they believe the Bible teaches. I don't care what denomination you have. They have principles that they press as their doctrines of the Bible. This is what they believe the Bible teaches. It somehow got divided down through the ages into two classes. Either you followed the doctrines of Wesley or you followed the doctrines of Calvinism. And so there's differences in the doctrines. And when you say faith, it's different for one denomination than it is for another. When you say works, it's different for one than what it is another. I kind of believe the Russellites believe they're going to be saved by works. And it's not a salvation by Jesus Christ. But many others, most of your denominations now have turned to just thinking that the way they work and how they work, their work isn't an eternal work. Their work isn't one that supports or helps them in salvation. And I know that's strange words, but you'll get me as I go along. There's a statement made often years ago. You don't hear it much nowadays. But when you're studying the Bible and you're hearing all these different doctrines, whether on the radio or wherever, on the internet, there's just thousands, yay, millions of messages you can hear. You're getting a lot of views, a lot of opinions, a lot of wisdom of men. And there's a statement made years ago that really would help if you realize that there is ditches on both sides of the road. People get extreme on one or extreme on another, and that's where your different denominations come from. They go to extreme on this particular doctrine or this particular doctrine. They go extreme, and you know that without me trying to name each one of them. And so that's kind of what their denomination centers on and what they teach the most, what they rest the scriptures to support the most. And so you must realize that there is in great doctrine, the doctrine of grace. You don't believe the doctrine of grace can be changed? Well, you just need to read Jude chapter 1, only one chapter in Jude. And it tells you that the grace of God will be turned into lasciviousness. You need to believe that that's what they're going to do. That's what they've done. They've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. How to be saved by grace has been turned into a false doctrine. Everybody saved by grace. All depends what you call grace. All depends how you define it. All depends what you think the Bible teaches about it. And so I'm saying to you that a person must weigh things out in the whole counsel of God. Please listen on purpose. You can't take one little isolated statement in the Bible. That's where all your denominations come from. They'll take one isolated statement or statements that fit that particular thing. And that's where Calvinism comes from. Now, you best know your Bible. You meet a Calvinist and he's really well versed in what he believes. He'll trouble your mind. Boy, those old boys study, and I mean, they'll come at you. I've had them come at me. I've had one get after me on the phone the other day. Oh, my soul. And I said, apparently you're a Calvinist. He says, yes, I am. I said, oh, well, I figured that the way you run your mouth. You know, I just figured that's what you are. But I'm saying you got to take, Paul said in the book of Acts that he gave all the counsel of God. You can't take just a little of the counsel of God and get truth. There are Bibles speaking of different things in different areas of the Bible, and it's got to all fit together. It's got to mend together. And so the Bible's teaching us here, there's things that we need to understand that we're involved in, and what it means to believe. What it truly means to believe. That's the major word today, is it? Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now that is true. That is true if you incorporate all the other statements about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. What is incorporated? That's not just saying, I believe in Jesus. I want to turn to it in a minute. James says, you're doing real well. You're just like the devil. He believes and trembles. But people base all of their faith, and I believe in Jesus. Well, there's a whole Bible that has to fit into your belief. You can't just say that. That doesn't end it. That doesn't say what your whole belief of the Bible is incorporated into your personal relationship. And so there has to be an understanding of what the Bible's teaching when it says believe. Has to be an understanding of what it means when it says have faith in God. Has to give us an understanding when it says the just shall live by faith. So what does it mean? I read a verse of scripture this morning that their faith was increasing. Some preachers preach a lot, and I'm not going to refute them. I'm not going to have anything negative to say about it. But they talk about saving faith. You say, "Well, preacher, that sounds good. That sounds right." It does if you know exactly what they're saying. If you know the rest of their doctrine, they're going to teach you on imputed faith. I heard it preached in a church in this county. Man stand up there talking about imputed faith, and here's all that crowd out there saying, "Amen, glory to God." I thought, you people don't know what he just said. He's saying God gives you the faith. Turn this thing on. Read your Bible. God wants, he doesn't want anybody perish, but everybody come to repentance. Is that what the Bible says? He would have all men come to salvation. Is that right? Well, if he gives the faith to be saved, why isn't everybody saved? That's simple. The Bible is simple. It's the complication of the Bible that stumbles people and confuses people. It's simple. And so we need to just let these things rest in our mind of what the Bible is truly saying. Our text is dealing with, and Jesus said there's a work of God, and talks about these works. On and on and on. I can take you through the whole Bible about works. Talking about, do I have it right? Would you help me and correct me if I'm wrong? Does the Bible say that you're going to get judged for your salvation, or you're going to get judged for your works? Is it the book of works and the book of Revelation that says you're going to get judged out of? Is it, what does it say is gonna, you're gonna give account for at the Bema Seat judgment? Your works, whether they be good or evil. Don't anybody spook you and confuse you about that. You're gonna be judged for your life. Makes it clear. Your works is gonna be judged. Were they eternal works? Or you got the division right here in verse number 27. Were they eternal works? Or they were just works for the flesh or for self? Or temporal works? And so we're all going to give an account. What does he judge you for? Your works. Is it that which he's going to reward you for? Your works? Hello, does anybody believe this? Is he going to reward you for your works? I know they're teaching that ain't really the way it is, but it is. Well done, thou good and unfaithful servant. Is faithfulness works? See, I'm going against the grain of this philosophy of our day. And I know I'm going to go against the grain. I'm going to go against harder. But I'm saying to you, the Bible makes it clear you're not saved by works. But works is involved getting you to salvation. You can't get to salvation without works. It's impossible for you to get saved without responding to the call of God for salvation. When it talks about here, and I don't want to get into all this, I want to get into a future message. All that God giveth, all that God calleth, all that God gives conviction to and reproves them in their heart. Would you reason with me just a second? How many people do you know that got saved that never did a thing? They didn't repent. They didn't come to Christ. They didn't open the door of their heart. They didn't ask forgiveness for sin. They didn't do nothing. That's what Calvinists want you to believe. And that's what the majority of people didn't believe, is all I had to do was believe. I didn't have to do a thing. And you didn't get saved if you didn't do a thing. Old Billy Mitchell had this statement. I love it the way he made it. He said, you have to be savable in order to be saved. A person that's not repentant is not savable. A person that holds on their will and will not yield to the Lord Jesus Christ, will not submit to the Lordship of Christ, will not submit to the law of God, will not submit to God ruling over their life, is not savable. A person that won't admit that they are wicked and ungodly and have a broken and a contrite spirit and recognize before God that they are guilty as charged. If they don't feel that, if they feel like they're a pretty good person, God's the gainer, not them. I mean, he got me. They're not savable. I'm trying to show you that there is a work of preparation in order that you might be saved. My time's running out. Look with me to James. James isn't refuting or building a new doctrine. James is merely helping us to rightly divide the doctrine of faith. You don't hear James preach that much. James, the brother of Jesus, he did. We can look in the book of Acts, I can show you today. If there was a question, a theological question, you know who they went to? James. They went to James to settle any kind of a question about the scriptures. the rest of the disciples. And James would give his rule, and that's what they'd preach. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 14. Please read with me and read slow. James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit? What does it benefit? How does it help? My brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have no works. Here's a question for you. Can faith save him? Now he's asking a question. He's going to answer it, but he's asking a question. Okay, he believes. Can faith alone save him? Just believing. Is that, are you all reading your Bible? Is that what it says? Notice, let's keep going. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? He give an example of how, now let me say this, he gives an example of how a person that has belief, but there's no work that comes out of it. There's no action that comes out of it. Their faith isn't productive. Their faith doesn't cause them to do things. Their faith doesn't lead him to help these people. It's worthless faith. Look what he says. So, verse 17, so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. What's the next two words? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. So faith, if it hath not works, is dead, empty, profitless, worthless. Are you reading your Bible? Being, the next word, alone. Does that make sense to you? Something's missing in faith if it doesn't have action, if it doesn't have sympathy, if it doesn't have charity, if it doesn't have works in it. Faith and being alone is nothing. It's worthless. I had these statements for later. If faith can't get you to church, it's worthless. Faith can't get your tithe, it's worthless. If faith can't get you to love the brethren, it's worthless. It's empty faith. It's powerless faith. It's worthless faith. It has nothing to do with being a real believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's nothing. If faith can't get you out of sin, how in the world can you say, I believe the Bible? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, God forbid. Yet you've got doctrines today that say, the doctrines have all been changed to fit in to a believe only type salvation. You've heard that, believing only. That's the salvation that all their doctrines fit. And so they say you can have a faith that doesn't change you, a faith that don't to cause you to live right, walk right, teach right, give right, dress right. It's worthless. If the faith don't work, it's worthless. I believe in Jesus. Well, what has it done for you in eternal values? Has it caused you to clean up your life? Has it caused you to give up the world? Has it caused you to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him? Has it done that? It's good faith if it has. Your faith is growing. You're maturing. Let me keep going. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Let's see it. Show me thy faith. Are you reading the rest of it? Without thy works. Let's see how you do that. Show me your faith without your works. And I will show you my faith by my works. Faith works in me. When I got faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, it worked in me. It changed me. It transformed me. It bore me into the family of God. I'm not the same person. Belief in the Lord Jesus Christ works in my life constantly. Am I making it make sense to you? Or is the Bible, forget me and my clips or opinions, let the Bible speak. If the faith don't do that to you, then there's something wrong. He says, I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God? Thou doest well. He's a little bit, you might kind of cutting here in a way, smirking almost a little bit. He says, you believe there's one God? Thou doest well. The devil, same as you are, believing and trembles. You're no different than the devil. If all you do believe and there's no working in your life with this belief, what do you believe? What do you believe about the Bible? Do you believe it's true? Do you believe that God requires you to obey the law? Do you believe that God requires you to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? To mature in your faith? You believe that? The doctrines of today say, no, we don't believe that. I'll give you examples. The doctrines of our day now, I read it to you the other day. Oh, it's been probably a month or two ago. They have literally changed the doctrine of sanctification. Sanctification has one primary meaning: cleansing on the inside. The doctrine of sanctification now, I've read you, one of their prominent sword men, preached the whole message on it, and he taught that sanctification means separation. Do you know what separation is? It's outside. You know what sanctification is according to the Bible? It's inside. It affects the heart. You're made pure in your heart. Sanctify is to clean, to cleanse. Would you think for me a moment? How in the world could I be a continual habitual sinner that nobody can stop doing? We're still sinners. We're saved sinners. How can I be a saved sinner and be holy and pure and clean? Would you explain that to me? Pull me aside after service. Take your Bible. Pull me aside. Instruct me in righteousness. Show me how you can braggingly, boastfully say that we're all sinners. Saved by grace, we still sin, thought, word, and deed every day. That's a Calvinist doctrine in their catechism that they teach. They teach and train their children from yea up. They're teaching a doctrine. I don't want you to see the scope of this. They're teaching a doctrine that says that God's grace and God's atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ is not sufficient to deal with sin. Is that just a mockery in a way? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all. Is the word all right in there? We walk in the light as he is the light. Fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from a double L sin. No, it doesn't. You're just a sinner. You're born a sinner. You're going to die a sinner. You may have a faith that'll get you to heaven, but it's not a faith that's going to stop you from sinning. Y'all sin every moment? Do y'all ever go an hour without sinning? Do you ever go 2 hours without sinning? 5 hours without sinning? You ever go a whole day without sinning? I can't think of anything I sinned against God. I don't know where I broke the law. I don't believe I broke the law today. Can you go that long? You believe in sinless perfection. You're wicked. I'd rather believe that God's wrong and that we're all still sinners. His blood doesn't cleanse us from all our sin. Yay, I can still sin and go to heaven. You're going to have to show me that in the Bible. Because the Bible tells me nothing that defileth is going to enter up there. One of the reasons I believe it says in 1 John 3:3, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. How pure? Even as he is pure. That's another doctrine they ruined. I could probably pick out 10 or 15 doctrines they destroyed. They come out with a doctrine that's not in the Bible, the impeccability of Christ. I hate that doctrine. They proud of it, preach it everywhere. What that's saying in essence is that the temptations that Jesus was tempted with wasn't really a temptation. He couldn't possibly have sinned. And so they want a real temptation. Not only did you say, when you say that the Bible's a lie, you also said, boy, the devil's really dumb to try to tempt him, wasn't he? The Bible is not complicated. If it was, I wouldn't be able to teach it. I'm a simpleton. I mean, you got to make it fit. You can't just take part here and there and say, I like this. You got to take all of it. Let me just read a little bit farther. Wasn't that Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See, is that how faith wrought with works? Is that hard to explain? He said, don't you see how that the works were part of and involved in him having faith, that he went and did, he had the faith, but it also made works. Faith always. Did you ever read Hebrews chapter 11? Did you ever read that? Did you notice what it says? Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God. By faith, verse 5, by faith Enoch translated. Verse 7, verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible. Please God. Verse 7, by faith Noah being warned. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go in the place that he should, he went. Listen, everything there is showing you faith works. You can't read Hebrews chapter 11 while saying faith works. Nor can you say you get saved without believing the works of God. You got faith? If you got true faith, you know what you do? You believe the Bible when it says that you must have repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance towards God comes first. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ comes second. You think people can get saved without repenting? I'm trying to show you a simple thing. That this doctrine, that there's doctrines that they're teaching are, they're void. They're empty. They're teaching a faith that isn't real. It sounds good. Or should I use Proverbs? It seemeth right unto man. I believe. Everybody believes. You go down there and go to a bar and there a guy has stewed and say, do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. I was knocking on doors down at Waynesboro one day. A guy came out. He had shorts on. I don't think he had a shirt on. He had a can of beer in one hand, a cigarette in the other. I said, you know Jesus Christ? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? He said, yeah, I'm saved. I believe in Jesus. Can I ask you a question? Did he believe sin was wrong? Do you believe drunkards aren't going to heaven? Did he believe God says you better not defile the temple of God? No! People that live in sin have no fear of God and do not obey God. Faith causes a person to live right. It does. It works. I got to echo. Faith causes people to do what the Bible says. They believe God, and so they do it. So faith produces works. And without works, the faith is nothing. It's empty. It's profitless. It won't help you. You believe there's a heaven? You believe there's a hell? Only way you'll really get saved, and that's old preachers used to preach it all the time. I fail in preaching on hell as much as I ought to. You know what you've heard many of people say? Boy, I just felt like I was going to hell. This is the last call that God was giving on me, and if I died, I was going to end in hell. Do you know what they've done to the doctrine of hell? Would you look at me and listen? You know what they've done to the doctrine of hell? They've made it obsolete. It's outdated. It don't fit the theology of today. The greatest Baptist preacher of this generation said that hell was nothing but a separation from God. No fire. Another preacher said on the radio, oh my, he was a popular preacher. You know what he said? He said, if you go to hell, it's instant annihilation. It's just, you burn up. Do you know what some people believe hell is? It's a big party with all their friends. And they sit and laugh and joke about it. You know what it's telling you? They do not believe the Bible. Listen carefully. There's no hope for a person that won't believe this book. I don't care about me, whether you believe me, like me, whatever. You don't believe that book, you've got no hope. Faith is in the Word of God. You believe the book. You believe the author of the book. You believe the guide of the book. I can't tell you how twisted and wrested the scriptures are. The more you preach it, the more you teach it, the more you study it. They've got us so confused. I appreciate what Thelma said to me. Oh, it's been years ago. I know I was preaching along, maybe along this line. She says, preacher, I'm glad I got saved years ago. It's so confusing now. I dare you go out and ask 10 people how to get saved, what they'll tell you. Knock on doors. 95% of them that knock on doors. Yeah, I go to church. I go to church faithfully. Are you saved? I go to church. I've been going to church 40 years. I'm baptized. What does faith say? Faith says, I believe the book. All of it. From the old saying, you say, from kiver to kiver. From cover to cover. I believe all of it. I believe it's right. Psalmist said, boy, if I could get this in my heart enough. Psalmist said 119. He said, I believe all thy precepts concerning all things. Therefore, I hate every false way. Do you know why we won't stand for the truth? It's because we don't want to hurt people we like that are deceived. And if you want to tell one of your children, tell your parents, tell somebody, dad, mom, daughter, brother, according to this book, you are not saved. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what you say. This book says contrary. Your faith don't make you obey this book. And so it's dead faith. It's worthless faith. It's profitless faith. It's empty faith. Labor. Let me go give you this statement. I'm going to close. Labor for meat that won't perish. That's what he said to do in verse 27. What is that, preacher? Well, you labor to sow the seed. That'll last. The seed will last. So you labor to sow the seed. What else you do? It's one of the most powerful things you can do. Is you labor in prayer. God tells you all the power of, he gives prayer. His mighty power involved, if you really believe and doubt not, all the things that get in your way and hinder you from going on, he'll remove them. In the power of prayer. Invest your life in the word and in prayer. Something that'll last. Something to answer your mind. Something that'll give you grace to press on. Something you can feed off from days to come. Boy, if I didn't have verses in my mind with this day, this age, I think H mentioned something about that, just the confusion of this day. Just, I sit there and tell my wife, I says, honey, somehow I believe we're just way out of it. A lot of what people are saying don't even make sense. Their values, their principles of life, their philosophy of life, how they reason. I said, where? I was praying the other day. I said, Lord, where do these people get this mind they've got? It's so confusing. It's not even sensible whatsoever. They don't even have common sense. Am I telling the truth? Am I telling the truth? Shall we stand? Labor for something that'll build your faith. Labor for stuff that'll last. I'm preaching nothing but what Jesus was teaching. Lay not your treasure up on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but in heaven where it thieves cannot break through and steal. Put your valuables there. Prayer, faith in God. The Word of God. Let me say to you, if the Holy Spirit of God's speaking to you, if he speaks to you in the night, if he begins to deal with your heart about something's missing in your faith. It isn't helping you. It doesn't make you love this Bible. I told you about Eddie. We talked to him the other day, and Barbara said, Eddie, remember that Bible we give you? And I remember we threw it on the bed and it kind of bounced off, and he went up, jumped over the bed and got that Bible, picked it up, kissed it. She said, Eddie, remember that Bible we give you? He said, I still got it. I tried to deal with him. He's not saved, but I believe God's working in his life. I believe he is. I say, if God's dealing with you, he spoke to you in the night, spoke to you about a loan, you're not ready. Sweetest voice this side of heaven you could hear is the voice of the Holy Spirit of God speaking to your heart. Most precious. Most precious. Nothing more valuable. Nothing takes the place of it. Nothing will help you more. Nothing's more truthful to you than that voice of God speaking to you. Either assuring or convicting. If he's saying, you're not ready, believe him. Believe him. Get it settled. Get it settled. Get it settled once for all. Get it settled. Get it settled. Get grounded. Get rooted. Have that faith that keeps growing and pressing you on the upward way. Amen and amen. Amen. Paul dismisses the word of prayer.
Dear God, we do thank you for what we heard. Pray that we take it to heart. Pray that if there's anyone that's not ready, that they would get that settled, follow your conviction in their hearts, and they turn to you, and pray that you just help us all to increase our faith and to be able to show our faith through our works. I pray you just be with each one as they go our way, each go our separate way. I pray you just go with each one of us and continue to work in our lives. And pray you be with all the prayer requests
yes.
throughout the day. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.